Ephesians chapter 5, and then also John chapter number 2. Most of you that probably know where we're going, no doubt, if you've been here, been preaching a multi-part a part message on being filled with the Spirit, and you say, preacher, what's that got to do with sinners? That has a lot to do with sinners. A Christian that is not Spirit-filled will probably not be effective on influencing sinners to get saved. In fact, we've been talking a lot about Christians that fail God. And I want to tell you, it's hard for you to fail God when the Spirit of God's in control in your life. When you fail God, let's look in the mirror and say, well, I know at least then I wasn't filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. That's right. God help us. But it ought to show sinners, this subject being filled with the Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit's the greatest need in the church. But I want to say also that being filled with the Holy Spirit should be a great display and a great demonstration to sinners. This is what God can do for you. You don't need drugs. You don't need alcohol. You don't need wild and wicked lifestyle. I'll tell you what you need. You need to get saved by the grace of God and let God fill you with His Spirit. And you'll stick your tongue out at what the devil puts on the table. Amen. The devil can't compete with God. No. Listen, the world can compete with the church when it comes to entertainment. That's right. That's right. We don't have the money to do those things, build roller coasters and stuff, and we're not interested in that. We're interested in putting the gospel around the world. Amen. That's right. But I want to tell you, buddy, when God is walking in power and demonstration, this world and the devil and the flesh can't put nothing on the table that'll compare with God. Amen. Amen. No doubt. Now listen, I believe there's an initial filling of the Spirit. I believe there's a time, there's a place in your life for the first time that God fills you with His Spirit. Amen. And I believe you'll know it. I believe you'll know it. And I tell you, it will mark your life. It'll mark your life. And you will never, ever, ever, ever get over that. Far as forget it. You'll never forget that. Yes, there's an initial feeling, and most people in church will live their life and draw their last breath and die and never experience that initial feeling of the Spirit of God. But there's not just the initial feeling of the Spirit of God that's taught in the Scripture. There is that progressive feeling. That is, we need to be filled and keep on being filled. Amen. That's right. And so I believe it's the greatest need in the church, no doubt. And I believe that we could see a lot of people say, more people say, if God's people were walking, as Miss Hayes testified about Brother Kanoy, and he was a great mentor to me and a hero to me. He was actually supposed to have preached in our wedding. He was supposed to be in our wedding, and he wasn't able to come, and he was sick and wasn't able to come be in our wedding. God, I'll tell you, a student of the book, Dr. Kanoy. And, of course, he's in heaven now, and Brother Siebel's shouting the victory this morning, I guarantee you. Amen. But being filled with the Holy Spirit, walking with God, will influence every area of your life. What our needs are today is not political. What our needs today are spiritual. Amen. That's right. Listen, amen. We're supposed to pray and vote and do everything we can to try to keep this country going in a path of righteousness the best we can. But I'll tell you what, it don't matter who gets in the White House, that don't change nothing at the Father's house. That don't change nothing about Him. He's still on the throne. Brother Mark read those scripture in Psalms today. The Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth. Thank God. That's not a political outcome. That didn't hold a session. Congress didn't vote on that. Senate didn't have any say-so on that. Hey, I want to tell you, it doesn't matter who gets in the White House. The Lord reigns before they go in. The Lord will reign after they go out. Amen. He knows how to raise them up, and He knows how to sit them down. And amen. I don't know the course of this country, but I know the course of the church. I feel God. Amen. The course of the church is not going down through a hole. It's going up through a hole. We're going through a hole in the sky, and Jesus is coming, and we are leaving. Amen. Amen, that's right. Oh, God help us. The Bible teaches us clearly that Jesus Christ was filled with the Holy Ghost. And I want to tell you, if Jesus Christ was filled with the Holy Ghost, he needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I promise you, you do, and I do. Hey, being filled with the Spirit of God will not exempt you from problems. Because the very Son of God, right after it was stated that he was filled with the Spirit of God, amen, filled with the Holy Ghost, the Bible teaches us there that the devil led him and took him into the wilderness and began to tempt him and test him and try him for 40 days. Amen. But I'll tell you what, though being filled with the Spirit of God don't exempt you, it will put an endurance in you, praise God, that no matter what comes and what goes, you'll be able to stick your tongue out the devil and say, nah, 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 you didn't get me, amen. Hey, man, that's right. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, amen. Hey, man, that's right. Glory to God. It's not the storms outside ceasing that's what we need. Hey, man, we need the Spirit of God in us to be superior to any trial, any giant, any mountain, any valley, any battle that comes in our life. Hey, man. Hey, man. Hey, man. Woo! I say glory. Yes, sir. Hey, man. Yeah, we can work on it. Listen to this right here. I'm trying to, the winds are blowing, amen. The winds are blowing. Here's what the Bible said in 1 John 4, verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Y'all get that?
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know what I'm doing now. It's good. We'll read. We'll read in a minute, maybe. But I'll tell you, God's good. Amen. I've been encouraged this morning by the Spirit of God. I've been encouraged that, hey, my joy don't come from the absence of trouble. Hey. Amen. That's right. Woo! My joy comes from the Spirit of God on the inside. And me being filled with him, controlled with him, saturated by him, is going to give me joy regardless of what's going on around us. Amen. Let's see our verse, Psalm 115, verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Amen. Hey, man, we want to be careful to give God the glory. Hey, I will tell you, if I was here today and I was lost, I'd run. I'd eventually run to an old-fashioned altar. Amen. And I'd get in while the getting's good, while God's a-moving, while the breeze of heaven's a-blowing, while the Spirit of God is moving in this sermon. I'd say, oh, God, I want to get in. If you're here and you are saved, claim to be saved, you're not right with God. I tell you what you ought to do. Cool. You ought to just get up out of your seat and make a beeline.
Yeah, that's right.
Make a beeline, buddy.
Yeah.
Amen. To an old-fashioned altar of repentance.
Amen.
Get in.
Hallelujah.
Get right with God.
Thank you, Lord.
Hey, let's pray. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name that you'll help me, Lord, to just follow your lead. Help me, God, to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I want to thank you for answering prayer. I want to thank you, God, for God showing us mercy this morning, showing grace to us this morning. And our Father, I want to thank you for that. Lord, church is not church without you, Lord. If I hadn't been here this morning, church could have went on. But Lord, if you're not here and your manifest presence, Lord, then it's all just going to be mechanical and methodical and pitiful. But I pray this morning, God, that you would help us, Lord. Lord, I'm aware of the fact and conscious of the fact, God, that you're moving in this service this morning. And Lord, I give you the recognition and I give you the glory. And Lord, as that verse says, clearly, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us. And Lord, we mean that this morning. Lord, it's not about me. It's not about a reputation of me. And it's not about our church name even. It's about your name. Lord, that's at stake here this morning. And I pray, dear Father, that you'll work in us both the will and to do of your own good pleasure. God, I pray that you'd deal with sinners to the point that they feel as though they cannot wait another minute. May we see an old-fashioned return of that type of conviction. Lord, conviction that gets on a sinner and they can't stand to wait till the end of the service. Oh, Lord, I pray that you deal with them this morning and draw them to yourself. And Lord, we pray for those today, Lord, that are living in sin and sin is a part of their life practice and lifestyle and they're loving it. Lord, show them that they are not a Christian. Show them, Lord, they've been deceived, dear Father, because if they were a Christian, their failures and their choices and their sin, dear Lord, would so grieve them that they wouldn't be able to stand it until they get right with God again. Have your will, Lord, in way this morning. Help me to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord, I want to thank you, God, for visiting with us today. And we don't want you to be an attendant. We want you to have authority here, Lord. And we'll praise you, God, for what you do. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen, Lord. Hallelujah. Son, I'm telling you, amen. I feel God in this place this morning. Bless his name. Amen. Thank God. Hey, keep praying. Keep praying. Keep believing God. Hey, amen. Some of you prayed at home last night. I hope you did. And we came to pray last night. I don't know about everybody else that was here, but I want to tell you, it was tight and tough in my corner. I mean, there was no liberty to pray, but I prayed on anyhow. There wasn't much liberty to pray, but I just pushed on anyhow. Amen. I'd rather been here pushing through in a hard time of praying as to be at the house laid out on the couch. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. Thank God. Whether he's answered my prayer or not, he's answered somebody's prayer. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying, church. Amen. God's about to give us a breakthrough. Ain't no doubt. And I bless his name. Well, glory. Amen, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, we'll attempt this again. Amen. You mind the Lord, amen? Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves, notice that verse 18 does not end with a period, so the thought of being filled with the Spirit continues. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Being filled with the Spirit in verse number 19 will have an inward effect on you. It will have an inward effect. You'll be speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and you'll be singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That right, verse 19 tells you what kind of music you're supposed to be listening to. Amen. You can't take trashy music, a tear and a beer and all that bunch of rot. You can't use that and make melody in your heart to the Lord. Amen. It won't help your spiritual life. It won't strengthen you spiritually. And I believe that. I know a lot of people says that's a hobby horse, but I've seen it in my own life. You cannot, listen, faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. And listen, and the devil knows too, if he can get you listening to the wrong message, that it will not build your faith, but rather it will counter your faith. And cancel your faith. Say amen. Amen. Some of you'd be a lot further down the road spiritually if you'd just clean your music up in your life. Well, amen. I know you probably couldn't handle much more of that, but that's right there it is. I just read it. Speaking to yourselves, that's personal, in psalms and hymns. And by the way, psalms is in the Bible. The book of Psalms was Israel's hymn book, and they were spiritual songs. So how can you sing and make melody in your heart with psalms and hymns when you don't even read the Bible? Well, amen. Verse 20. It shows us that being filled with the Spirit not only has an inward effect, but has an upward effect. What happens after we get the inside right, then we start focusing our attention upward, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So being filled with the Spirit of God has an inward effect, verse 19. It has an upward effect, verse 20. But then verse 21 and following, it has an outward effect, a horizontal effect, amen, upon relationships and so forth. But I want us to look at that as the Lord would help us on being filled with the Spirit. And we'll be in John 2 for the main part of the message. You can be seated. So we're told to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a command. Everybody understand that it's a command. And then look in chapter 2 of the book of John, Gospel of John. And the reason we're dealing with this is because the same identical word in Ephesians 5:18, the word filled, the Greek word that is translated there, filled, is used in John chapter 2, two different times in verse number 7. And I'll just read this verse for sake of time. The Bible said, and Jesus said, saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them. Well, let me read the latter part of these verses. Verse 8, and he said saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants, look at this parentheses right here, but the servants which drew the water knew. Amen. Boy, that's some good preaching right there if the Lord help me get to it.
Yeah.
But the servants knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom, verse 10, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men hath well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. And so we're looking at this passage of scripture in John 2 as it illustrates to us by the fact that it uses the same word as Ephesians 5:18, uses the same word in John 2 and verse 7 twice, filled. Then we can use John chapter 2 to give us an insight as to what is the meaning behind that word filled. What can we learn from that? And so we've been looking in John chapter number 2 for, I believe this is maybe the fourth message, but we've looked at several things. One, first of all, we noticed that being filled with the Spirit of God, as verse number 3 shows us, is that there must be a craving involved. That the Bible said, and when they wanted wine. The whole outcome, you've heard me say it, the whole outcome of this miracle hinged on that one word, wanted. Simply put, if you don't want anything from God, you will not get anything from God.
That's right.
Amen. So we notice the craving that's involved, and I'll not go back and re-preach that, but it's evident that most people today in church are satisfied with a low level of spiritual life. A low level. Amen. They're satisfied with that. If you're satisfied with that, you'll never want more, and you'll never have more. But now, secondly, we notice not only the craving that was involved, but also, secondly, a command that was involved.
Yeah.
A command that's involved. Look at verse 5. And his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. That is a command given. When he says in verse number 7, Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots.
Yeah.
Now there's no parentheses right after that that says, fill the water pots if you feel like it. Fill the water pots if it's convenient. Fill the water. No, no. God, Jesus has the authority to say to you and I, do it. Amen. Well, I don't like nobody to tell me what to do. Well, then you'll never be spirit-filled. You'll never be spirit-filled. Amen. So there's a command involved. It's not optional to be spiritual. Amen. Somebody write that one down. It's not optional to be spiritual. To be spiritual is a command of God for every saved person. But I don't see too many saved people today going from being saved into a spiritual walk and a spiritual life. And that bothers me. That concerns me. As I mentioned Wednesday night, there is the profession of faith. But there's not only the profession of faith, that's when you tell everybody you got saved. You profess it. Amen? Have you ever done that?
Right.
Have you ever done that? Have you ever stood and told publicly Jesus Christ is now my Lord and my Savior. There's the profession of faith, but then there is the progression of faith. That is, it grows. It's not just a one-day thing. It grows in your life. But then there's a production of faith. Faith will produce fruit in your life. Faith is fruitful. Hello? Faith is fruitful. If you got real faith, it'll be manifest in your life. Amen. That's right. It'll be proven. Real faith is proven. Let me get off that. It's hard for me to go back and refresh everybody's mind because I want to re-preach. I figured if you need refreshing, I need to re-preach it. But anyway, there's the command. Number three, there is the compliance of being filled. The compliance. It's one thing for Jesus to say, do it, but it's another thing for you to do it. Jesus is given a command, but he's not making you do it. A command lays appeal at your will. A command lays a challenge at the heart's door. And you have a will. You have a will that can say to your Creator, no. You have a will when Jesus says, fill those six water pots with water. You can say, I'm going to fill one of them. You can say, I'm going to fill one of them only halfway. You can say, I'm going to fill three of them. I'm going to fill five and a half of them. Amen. You have that will. And I want to tell you, a lot of people have shortchanged themselves spiritually because they said no to the commandments of God and the commands of God.
That's right.
Amen. That's right. Anyway, there's a compliance involved. Do it. And then number four, there's the completeness that's shown to us, the completeness of being filled. And that's found in verse number 7 where he said, fill the water pots with water. Keep in mind now the word fill is the same word used in Ephesians 5:18. Be filled with the Spirit. And the Bible says here in verse 7, and they filled them, notice this, to the brim. Completeness. What would happen at RBT? What would happen through RBT if everybody here got seriously interested in complete obedience to the Lord? I don't know that we could contain it. I don't know that we could handle it, but I'd sure like to try. Amen. So there's a completeness involved. And then number 5 is where we're at now, and that is there's a commission involved. Jesus, after telling them to fill the water pots, and the Bible said in verse 7, they filled them. That wasn't the end of instruction. That wasn't the end of the commandment. That wasn't the end of the revealed will of God. He says in the very next verse, and he saith unto them, draw out now and bear it. Or bear unto the governor of the feast. And the Bible said, and they bear. Boy, isn't there some preach right there? Isn't there some preach right there that when God fills you with the Spirit of God, he doesn't mean for you to contain that in and of yourself. He means for it to get beyond you. He has others in mind when he's asking you and commanding you and desiring that you be filled with the Spirit of God. Now think about that. If God has other people in mind when he's telling me to be filled with the Spirit, then if I'm not filled with the Spirit, other people's going to suffer for that. I'll suffer for that, but they're not going to get what God wants to give to them. Amen? So there's a commission involved. Amen? But listen, up to this point, and I've already preached this is message number 4, and we preached 4 different points already. The whole emphasis thus far is getting water in the pots. Do you agree with that? Fill the water pots with water, and they filled it. The whole emphasis of the message thus far has been get full. Get the water pot represents your life. Amen. It represents your life. And a water pot doesn't have an incoming spring into it. If there's anything in your water pot, hello, you put it there.
Yeah, right.
If there's anything in your water pot, you put it there, or you've allowed a friend to put there, or you've allowed a family member to put there. Amen. But the emphasis now starting to change. Instead of the emphasis being on getting water in the pot to where Jesus can do something with it, Now the emphasis is getting water out of your pot to other people. Right. Amen. Evidently, I hadn't turned this thing on. Are y'all listening? So there's the emphasis now is getting the water out of the pot. Amen. And by the way, oh yeah, listen, Lord just showed me something. What was coming out of the pot was a lot better than what went in the pot. Hey, you obey God and do the will of God and mind Him, and it'll be good. It'll be tasty. It'll be quenching of thirst. I want to tell you, when Jesus transforms that obedience, amen, and that which comes out of your obedience will far exceed what went in initially. Oh, yeah. Amen, that's right. So now the emphasis is not getting water into the pot. It is rather now getting the water that Jesus had made wine out of the pot and to other people. Draw it out now and bear it. Draw it out and bear it. A lot of people don't want to be filled with the Spirit for that purpose. Oh, you mean, preacher, if I'm filled with the Spirit of God, it's going to work service in me? You mean I'm going to have to be a servant, preacher? I'm going to have to do something? Oh, yeah. You don't have to do anything to get saved, far as it works. Amen. I'm glad God set it up that way, or none of us ever got saved. Amen. But now when you get to talking about being Spirit-filled and your spiritual life and your spiritual influence, oh, yes, it is attached to works. By the way, I just thought I'd throw it out here and I'll deal with it, Lord willing, a little bit later on. But it was the servants that filled the water pots. It wasn't the partying crowd. It wasn't the people there just celebrating a wedding of Cana of Galilee. No, none of those. It was servants that filled the water pot. People that's interested in serving are going to be people that's going to say, "Yes, Lord. You want that in my life, I'll do it by the grace of God." Amen. If you're not willing to be a servant, come on now, write this down. If you're not willing to be a servant, you're not interested in being filled with the Spirit. You can't separate spiritual from servitude in the Scripture. Draw it out now, Jesus said. It's good that you filled it. It's your responsibility to do that. You filled it. You took it as far as you could take it. You filled it to the brim. But he said, now I've got another plan. I don't want it contained in your pot. I don't want it left in your pot. I want you to draw it out. I want other people to taste and benefit, amen, of what God can do for them. Yeah. Draw it out now and bear it. Oh, yeah. And let me say this, a very simple thought Lord gave me this morning. Be sure that you can never draw out and give to others what is not in your pots. Amen. Do you have anything in the pots of your life? Do you have anything spiritual that Jesus could even use? Amen. Well, I thought that was pretty good myself. The people didn't come, listen, the people didn't come and get the water get the water out of the pot, Brother Silas. They didn't come and form a line and start bringing a dipper and a cup and start dipping it out. No, he says to the servants, the same servants that were involved and responsible for filling the pots, he's now saying to those same servants, and by the way, just a sideline thought here, that if your salvation does not produce service, it's probably not real. Our churches are filled with people that claim to be saved and never do anything for God. You ought to want to do something for the Lord before you leave this world. Amen. How much money you made, that ain't gonna have a thing to do with the judgment seat of Christ. How much money you gave, maybe, but not how much money you made. Amen. What kind of car you drove, that won't have a thing to do with the rapture. Won't have a thing to do with it. What kind of house you lived in, that won't have a thing to do with it. Amen. I tell you what's going to show up at the judgment seat and result in rewards and crowns. It's going to be your spiritual life and what you did with it. Amen. Salvation is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift to Him. There's a commission involved, amen? The servants in verse 5 through 9 are identified as such because of their obedience. Find somebody that's obeying God and identify, there's a servant. Amen. I don't think you have right to lay claim to being a servant if you don't serve. Do you? Amen. Amen. That's good sense. Makes good sense. Luke 6:46, Jesus said this, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" That's pretty plain, isn't it? Jesus said, "You calling me Lord? Am I your Lord? Am I really your Lord?" I'm paraphrasing, put a little reckless input there. Am I really your Lord if you're not obeying me? And the answer to that, of course, is understood. No. Romans 6, verse number 16 through 18. "Know you not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey?" Do you see that principle there? Those that obey, listen, those that obey are those that have yielded themselves to be a servant. You know why a lot of people are so guilty of, mass disobedience is because they've never yielded themselves to the Lord. Amen. Amen. We're wanting the fruits of the spiritual. We're wanting God to move and save all of our lost loved ones without us being spiritual. That's not going to happen. Amen. Know you not that to whom, everybody in here serving a whom? Everybody in here is serving a whom? The question is it Jesus? Amen. Matthew 6, Jesus said no man can serve two masters. Everybody in here are servants. The question is, who are you serving? Are you serving self? Are you serving the flesh? Are you serving family, friends? Amen. What are you serving? Everybody's serving something, and whatever you're serving is what you've yielded yourselves to. We need a revival of yielding ourselves to Jesus Christ as believers. Amen. Listen, it goes on to say, yielding yourselves servants to obey. His servants ye are to whom you obey. How many saw that principle right there? His servants ye are to whom you obey. Your obedience reveals your master. Oh man, that's good. Your obedience reveals your master. You don't have to identify who your master is. Everybody knows who your master is when they see who you obey or what you obey. Oh yeah, that's right. Verse 17, "But God be thanked that ye were," past tense, "ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness." Everybody knew I was a sinner when I was a sinner because of I was yielded to that lifestyle. I was obedient, buddy. Hey, come on. I wasn't the only one in here. I guarantee you, a lost person, it can be said about a lost person. This is one thing can be said about a lost person. They are faithful to their master. Brother Silas, I did everything that my old master wanted me to do. Come on now. Lie, cheat, steal, be rebellious against mom and dad. Live like a stinking heathen. Hey, amen. I was just yielding myself. I was just being obedient. But you know what? My old master never gave me nothing. Never gave me nothing. I don't ever recall him patting me on the back. I don't ever recall him patting me on the back and say, "That's a good job." No, I never did. Never had no peace, no joy in life. Never. Oh, no. But oh, thank God. When you believe that form of doctrine, when you believe the truth, when the gospel came into your ears and the Spirit of God put it in your heart and you accepted it as your personal Jesus, as your personal Savior, the Bible said in verse number 18, that you've been made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. The enemy doesn't, listen, three things right here in John 2 that shows me the enemy is wanting to work in our life. The first thing I noticed, and Lord give this to me, is simple but worth mentioning. The enemy doesn't want water to get in your pot to start with. And we know what the water is. Remember, we pointed out that's the Word of God. Amen. The water is a type of the Word of God in the Scripture. And notice this. The enemy doesn't want the water to get in your pot. That's his first step. I don't want you to have a relationship with this book. Come on now. Hey, when I see my spiritual life, listen, when I see my spiritual life not being what it needs to be, I don't have to go but two places to find out what's going on. And I'm holding it in my hands, the first place. You said, preacher, oh Lord, not you, preacher. You preach erratically, and you're known everywhere, and you preach all over the place. And preacher, sure, hey, I'm telling you, the devil just soon put a wedge between me and the Word, as he had Brother Silas putting a wedge between you and the Word, and girls, and all of you in here putting a wedge between you and the Word. Because, listen, the devil knows Jesus can't turn that water into wine if there's no water in you. Say amen right there. I'm going to preach right there. I saw something. I like preaching when I can see. I'm not talking about through my glasses. I'm talking about in my spirit I can see. Amen. Amen. You wonder, and wine in the Bible is a type of joy. A while ago when the breeze of heaven blew through here, I'm telling you, I identified that, Brother Fultz, as God. That was God. If I've ever seen God, that was God. That was God, the Holy Ghost moving in this place. Amen. But I promise you, and I didn't look because I didn't want to notice. I didn't want to get my mind off of Jesus by looking at you. Sorry, but you are no competition to the Lord. Amen. I can look at you, get my mind off the Lord. You may look at me, get your mind off the Lord. When He shows up, let's get our mind on Him. But there was people in this service, I about guarantee you, that was completely numb, completely unattached, detached from the move of the Spirit of God there a moment ago. Why? Jesus can't turn water into wine if there's no water in you. Jesus cannot take the word of water of the Word of God and transform it to joy. Transform that into the supernatural if there's nothing in you. Amen. I'm going to preach right there a minute. Hey, we're not going to get done this morning. I prayed coming over here. I said, Lord, I'd like to get done with this and go on to something else. But Lord, if you don't want it, if you want us just to bog in and dig it out, squeeze the juice out of it, then that's what I want to do. Amen. Hey, Jesus can't turn worldly entertainment into joy. Come on now. Most people in church spend their whole week, most of their whole week, my friend, feeding the flesh and doing what's pleasing to the flesh, and that's not always sin. But when it comes time that you want that, you want joy, there's nothing in you for Jesus to turn and transform into joy. There's nothing in you. But preacher, I wanted to watch the game, and I wanted to do this, and I wanted to go there, and I wanted to do this. Hey, do it all. But when you're sitting on a pew Sunday morning and the breeze of heaven blows through, you'll sit there like, oh my goodness, I wished I'd have made some more spiritual choices this week. Hey, man, that feels good right there, friend. Hey, man. Got up this morning, 5:30, went in there and sat down, and I thought immediately, I got to get this, I got to write this down. Lord, give me this, I got to write this down. And the Lord says, hey, wait a minute. Where am I at in all this? Hey, I'm going to tell you, I have a problem with that. I have a problem with putting more emphasis on studying, and that is an emphasis, than I do the Lord. So I'm sitting there, and I'm wanting to feed the flock. I want to give you something. I don't want to just be a rattling my gums. I want to give you some meat as best I can. I really do. I want to feed you. I want to give you something. Amen. I want you, when you go out of here, I want you to have a spiritual toothpick in your teeth. Just, man, that was good. Boy, wow, that was good. I want you to go out down the road picking your teeth like, man, that piece of lamb was good. Thank God. Hey, we've been feeding on the Lamb of God at RBT. Amen, that's right. God help us. We need to give Jesus something that He can work on, that He can transform. Hey, I saw this. Listen. I saw it this morning. Let me go back to my illustration. I was wondering, where was I going with that? Brother, Lord, he said, he got my attention. I mean, I'm just, you know, typing away. Well, that'll be good. Brother McCarricker needs that. Man, that right there's good. You know, I'm just typing away. And the Lord says, hey, where am I at? You got up, your feet hit the floor, running here. You sit down on the couch and you start studying. Where am I at? I took that computer up off my lap and laid it on the couch. Got up. Now, I'm not trying to say this to be make me look spiritual. I'm just telling you that I'm just like you. I can do good things, but if it gets in the way of the best thing, it becomes a bad thing. And I got down on the floor there in front of the couch and spent some time with the Lord, and I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. Hey, I'm sorry for sermonizing and all of that, and instead of getting with you and talking with you and loving on you. I wonder how many this morning, just like me, you got up, your feet hit the floor, and you started your routine of getting ready for church. And now you've been sitting on a church pew for an hour or two, and you haven't even prayed. What's in you? I'm asking you the question. I don't know what's in your pot. I do know that whatever's in your pot, you put it there or allowed it to be put there. Amen. Is there anything in our pots of our life? Have we put anything in there that Jesus will use? And here's the key. If you'll put in your pot what Jesus says to put in it, He will transform that. He will use that. And He will make it far better than anything that it ever would have been without Him. So if you're obedient to the Lord, you put in your pot what Jesus said, He will use it. You don't have to wonder about that. But anyway, the enemy, I'm talking about the commission. The enemy doesn't want the water to even get in the pot to start with. Secondly, he doesn't want the pot to be filled. He don't want water in it at all. Then secondly, if he can't prevent that, he wants to keep you just half full. How many people here today, don't raise your hand and don't point fingers, but I wonder how many here today is half full or not even half full. Are y'all listening? And then the third thing that deals with the commission part, one, he doesn't want water in the pot to start with. Secondly, he don't want it full. He don't want it to be filled. And thirdly, he wants it to stay in the pot, whatever's in the pot. Don't ever draw it out. Don't let it infect. Don't let it influence your family. Don't let it influence your schoolmates. Don't let it influence those you work with. Don't let it influence people that lives around you. Hey, man, keep it in the pot. Water in the pot did not ever affect those people. He said, Jesus said, draw it out now and bear it. Amen. God never intends, I wrote this in, God never intends on the water of the Spirit-filled life to stay in or to be contained in the pots. I'm going to give you this, and I'll probably be about done. I'm not done, but I'm going to probably finally quit. This is good. God, give this to me this morning. You said, preach, you've been preaching on this, studying on it. The more I study, the bigger it gets. I got some stuff that should have been preached. I got some stuff this morning that should have been preached way back there on that first point of the command. Or the second point, whatever the second one was, command. Yeah, the first one was craving. The craving and the command. You know what it was? I'm going to give it to you since I couldn't back up the clock and the calendar and the CD and say it back yonder when I preached on that. They invited Jesus to come. Did it not? Did it not say that? They wanted him to come, verse number 2, and both Jesus and was called and his disciples. You know what? It started out, this is good right here. Some of you are going to miss it if you're not careful. It started out, all they wanted Jesus to be was an attendant. Oh boy. We just want you here, Lord. How many people is like that? I'm going to finish on this. How many people is like that? You just want Jesus around. You don't really want him to do nothing. You don't want him to be in charge. You just want to, you want to benefit from his name and his reputation. You just want him to be an attendant. You just want him to be an attendant in you. Oh yeah. But boy, watch this right here. God used a problem. God used a problem. They ran out. They were empty. Watch this. Oh, this is good. Mary come to Jesus in verse 3 and said, they have no wine. Verse number 4, Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith, do it. Here it is. He went from being an attendant to being the one in authority. Oh. Oh. You satisfied with Jesus just being an attendant? Just being around? Hello, Jesus. You know, wave at him over yonder somewhere. Yeah. Hey, man, we had a good church service Sunday morning. Yeah, Jesus over there somewhere. Hey, good to see you over there, Lord. Yeah. Come on. Don't tell me what to do now, but hey, good to have you, Lord. Help yourself. Enjoy yourself. This is our special occasion. We've got all the plans made out. That's the way we treat him. But Brother Silas, when the problem came, let God use your problems. Let God use your crisis. Let God use that. Amen. When they ran out, they didn't have no more. That drove them to making Jesus more than an attendant. Put him in the position of authority to where he could say, and it was announced, whatever he says, do it. You want to be spirit-filled? You want to be spirit-filled? Do I want to be spirit-filled? Then, oh mercy, oh mercy. If I want to be spirit-filled, Brother Travis, and you want to be spirit-filled in the church, here's where you look. Look where Jesus is at in your life. An attendant, he was there, but he may not have been the center. He might have just been on the sideline. Oh, mercy. I saw something else. His disciples were there too. Same verse. Jesus was called and his disciples. How many people go to church and you're content with that? Oh yeah. Oh, where's disciple Fultz and disciple Miss Chamatha and disciple? Yeah. Yeah, we went to church. We had some of his disciples with us today. Yeah. I hope you can get past that. I hope you can get past that. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, Preacher Racco is there today. God help you is all I can say to that answer. Is Jesus just an attendant? Oh, we might as well stay alliterated there. Some of you are satisfied with Jesus being an attendant, or basically you're just satisfied with disciples being an associate. You just associate yourselves with other disciples. But you know where spirit-filled life comes in? It's when Jesus gets bigger than the associates and gets bigger than the bridegroom and the governor of the feast, and he gets bigger than Mary. Amen. The mother gets bigger when he is predominant, and when he has the preeminence, he moves from being an attendant, amen, to being a one in authority, amen. Oh, help us today with that, Lord. Goodness gracious, that's feeding my soul. God help me, Jesus. I'm going to stop right there. I'm not done. I still got a good bit of preaching left on that one point. I don't want nobody to ever leave out of here and say, well, I ain't getting nothing today. Where's Jesus at in your life? Miss Paul Sophia, come on. Where's Jesus at in your life? And by the way, hello, you know where he's at. Guarantee you, if you walked into to that marriage, that situation there, Brother Silas, anybody could have walked up and asked anybody, hey, where's Jesus at? Guarantee that. Oh, that's him right over there. You know where he's at in your life. But is he in a position to where he has authority in your life? Some of you young people, You're bored to death with spiritual things. Bored to death with church. Say amen right there. Bored to death with spiritual things. Your joy is some kind of worldly entertainment or something to out there. You know what your problem is? If you even know the Lord, here's your problem. Jesus is just a little sideline historical Bible character. And that Jesus right there, oh yeah, come on, help me, Lord, right there. I'm still saying it. As long as that Jesus is only an attendant and he's on the sideline, he'll never turn water to wine over on the edge. He'll turn water into wine when he has the authority and the preeminence in your life. Some of you need to get there. And I'm going to tell you and testify, Preacher Rackley can testify this right here. My flesh hates when Jesus is on the throne of my heart.
Right, that's true.
Well, Preacher, I'm miserable. I'm absolutely miserable. The tomb's empty. Redemption's been paid for in the blood. Hey, he's on the throne. What? Well, hey, I'll tell you what it is. Your joy is circumstantial. It's not Jesus having the preeminence. Revival break out when we get Jesus, not on the edge, but listen, not an attendant, but one in authority. Oh, yes, amen. Don't expect the actions of the Lord. Don't expect his actions of supernatural action of turning water to wine. Don't expect that if he's on the edge. If he's just at, on the fringe, just in the fringe of your life. You got your own plans. Hello? Is it not evident in this text? John 2, they already had everything together. The governor of the feast, the bridegroom, they had it all set up. Everything was fine. They didn't want Jesus there to get orders. They didn't want Jesus there for him to be that authoritative figure. They just wanted him there. Man, that's got big to me. I saw that this morning. I thought, oh my goodness. Help me, Lord. Help me with that. But I can't expect Jesus to turn water into wine if he doesn't have the preeminence and if there's nothing in me for him to work with. I can't, Brother Jason, I can't draw out and bear. I mean, even like preaching, Brother Craig, I can't draw it out and bear it to you if it's not in me.
Right.
Hardest thing, come on, and only I guess a preacher may could relate, maybe a Sunday school teacher could relate. Hardest thing I ever tried to do is to bear out what is not there.
Yeah, that's right.
And I've done that. And y'all are not foolish. You know that. Get in the pulpit and ain't nothing there. My heart's cold and crusty and dry and calloused. Amen. But go through the motions. But boy, it's different, friend. Oh, it's different when Jesus says, here, do this. Yes, Lord. And then when you get in the pulpit, Brother Scott, and you get to preaching the Word of God, God takes that obedience, turns it into joy, and feeds you with it. Amen. Draw it out now and bear. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'll take the message, dear Lord, this morning and use it for your glory. Thank you for speaking to me and challenging me. And Lord, whether anybody else, Lord, lines up, obeys, whatever, Lord, I certainly want to. Because I know, Lord, I know what you can do. We know, Lord, that you are a supernatural God. But Lord, you'll never display your supernatural. Oh Lord, I just saw you showed me something else. Lord, we'll never have the wine if we reject the word. Whatever he says to us to do, if we reject the word, we'll never have the wine of joy. We choose to not do what you say. We choose to be disobedient, negligent. Lord, we'll never have the wine of joy in our heart. And we'll never have nothing in us that can be bore and given to other people. That they can see and they can taste and know. Father, I pray your will be done. Challenge us with this. I believe this morning we heard a word. Not in my presentation, but the truth that I tried to preach. I believe we heard a word in that. Lord, I pray your will to be done in this congregation.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.